So tonight, we're going to be looking at John chapter 15.
If you turn it away from you, is it going to still pick up your voice?
If I turn it away from me...
Is it going to pick up your voice?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
But it's not turned away from me.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, John 15... I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you, just as the branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine. So neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. Because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he's thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they're burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have spoken these things to you, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you slaves anymore because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends. Because I have made known to you everything I've heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you that you should go out and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you, love one another. If the world hates me, understand it hate. If the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. You were of the world. The world would, if you were of the world would love you as its own. However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of it, the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But they will do all these things to you on account of my name because they don't know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. Now they have no excuse for their sin. The one who hates me also hates my Father. If I had not done the works among them that no one else has done, they would not have sinned. Now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But this happened so that the statement written in their scripture might be fulfilled. They hated me for no reason. When the counselor comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. You also will testify because you have been with me from the beginning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We'd ask you to bless us as we study it. Help me as I explain it. And help us to be better for having been here. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you know, I always like to start things off with a little background so that we can understand what's going on here. Jesus talks about three relationships. Disciples are to be rightly related to Jesus. Disciples are to be rightly related to each other. And disciples are to be rightly related to the world. they also have three duties: to abide in Jesus, to love one another, and to testify to the world. Now he starts right off and he begins to say that he is the vine and we are the branches. Now he's talking about a grapevine, and this is something that they knew about. They knew that there were branches off of the grapevine that would produce big clusters of grapes, and there were other ones that didn't, that they were just stunted. So he says he is the source of the life-giving sap that makes all the branches alive. And his father is the gardener who prunes things. And then he says you must be connected in order to produce fruit, because you can't produce fruit unless you're connected to the branch, to the vine, and have the sap coming that helps you produce things and to grow. If you're not producing, then you get pruned. Now, this is somewhat disconcerting to some people. It's like, oh, if I'm not good enough, they'll just whack me off. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, if you're not connected, if you are just neglecting your connection to Jesus, then you stop producing fruit for him. And if you continue in that state, eventually you will completely lose your connection. Now, Jesus, being Jesus, can connect you back in again. Later, Paul has a wonderful discussion about, with the Gentiles that he's working with, about the fact that many of the Jews were chopped off because they didn't believe in Jesus. And then he says, you're like a wild grapevine, and we've whacked you out of the wild grapevine and grafted you in to the cultivated grapevine. And then he says, remember, if he can graft in a wild grape branch, then he can also graft back in natural branches anytime he wants to. And that's exactly what this is talking about. If you're not producing, then you end up losing your connection to Jesus and all of the strength and power that you should have by being a Christian. But if you come to your senses and you regularly recognize this, then you can come to him and say, hey, I need to be connected back in. And just like that, he will do it. He says, if you're in Christ, you can ask for whatever you want. This is another thing that people twist around. What he's meaning is, if you're connected to Christ, you have a mind like Christ. My little phrase has always been, if you want what God wants, you always get what you want. And that's the whole point. If you're connected to Jesus, then you know what Jesus wants, and you want the same thing, and God the Father will give it to you. So he says, love like I do. He says you need to remain in his love by following his commands. In the last couple of chapters, he's been pinging on this. If you love me, you'll do what I told you to do. Now, once again, as we've said, this is not like the Pharisees and religious leaders looked at it. where you have to be absolutely perfect. This is you're trying. You're doing your best. Okay? You're putting effort into this. Jesus' teaching was to bring joy to their lives. He wanted them to come closer and closer to Him, which would make them happier and happier because they were in Him and in the Spirit and in the Father, and everything was just the way it was supposed to be. Then He says, you want to love one another to the point of laying down your life for each other. This is sometimes a hard thing.
Just checking to make sure something was going on because the door was not open.
Oh, okay.
Because they just kept letting them walk.
Jesus said that you love one another to the point of laying down your life for one another. This is a hard thing because why would I lay down my life for somebody else? You know, if you're messing up, if you're, you know. But if we love each other, then we get to the point where we will say, no, I will lay down my life for you if I have to. I've been in situations in the Philippines predominantly where there were situations where we had to make a choice. Am I going to go get that guy, or am I going to leave him out there for the New People's Army to shoot up? Now, as it happened, I had a rather large military dog. And so I would take out there, and the dog would start chewing up New People's Army while I'd grab somebody and bring him back. Then I'd call the dog out and get him back. It helped. But once again, dog's only biting on one person. There's other guys shooting at me. Just not having a great lot of success for it. Cindy, you have something?
Did you hear the guy screaming when the dog was yelling?
Do what?
Did you hear the fella yelling when the dog was
yelling? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Military dog handlers are kind of twisted. We like that. Okay. I had the second largest dog in the kennels at Clark Air Base. And at one point, he hit a Filipino in the back of his right leg and tore it out at the hip. And we just, the guy almost bled to death getting to the hospital. But, I mean, we just, everybody in the kennels thought this was just the most absolutely. But that's the way military dog handlers are. Lewd, crude, rude, and socially unacceptable. But
can't take you anywhere.
That's it. And then he tells them, you're not my servants anymore. You're my friends. A servant just does what he's told. A friend knows what's up. He knows the plans and what's going on. And then he tells them, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And I know why I have chosen you. And I know what you can do in my service if you'll stick with it. This is why people come up with all these weird theories on how Jesus didn't really die, that he was just fainted or what, all this kind of stuff. Let me tell you, and if you think about it for yourself, you'll understand it. If you knew that the whole thing was a lie and people are beating you up and they're killing you, and yet you refuse to change your story, even if they kill you, I don't think it's a lie. I don't think people would do that for a lie. And he tells them, you're going to be persecuted. They hate you because you love Jesus. They hated Jesus first because he's not like them. If you love the world, they would love you. You're different, and they don't like that. We have seen this all around the world, going around in the military, where there were people who didn't like us because we were Christians. Oh, you think we're better than you? No. We think that we're sinners saved by grace. Okay? We would like to tell you about Jesus, if you'll let us. But they don't like you because you're different. You've got a confidence. You know what happens when life ends. They persecuted Jesus. Now they're going to persecute you. And boy, we look around and we know ever since Jesus ascended into heaven, it's been going on and it's still going on. And all around the world, it's still going on. And the devil's coming up with new and better ways to do it. We've got communists, we've got Muslims, we've got all kinds of crazy stuff. But we hold on to him. And he says, the Spirit testifies to him, and we need to do that as well. So, what does this all mean to us? First of all, remember your relationships and duties. You have to be rightly related to Jesus, rightly related to each other, rightly related to the world. And relation to the world and relation to Jesus is going to be different. Because we want to be in the world but not of the world. We want to be in Jesus and of Jesus. And we want to love each other. We want to stay connected to Jesus because he's our source of power. And he's our source of joy, and he gets us through things. It's like he said, I leave you peace, but not the way the world gives you peace. I'm not giving you a lack of conflict. I'm giving you the ability to make it through. Love one another as Jesus did. This is sometimes a hard thing, too, because there are some people who are not lovable. I used to hear Billy Graham constantly talk about love the unlovable. It's just one of those things. There are people who make it very, very hard to love them because they're just not nice people. There are people like Saddam Hussein who you say somebody needs to kill that guy. You know, and it's just that's the way it was. And we need to expect persecution, but also comfort. The world is going to persecute us for being Christians. Jesus will give us comfort to get through it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. I thank you for this wonderful chapter that just made me feel so good, even writing a sermon about it. Help us to remember all these things and to draw closer and closer to you all the time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys. Mm-hmm.